The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap for the Century Tournament of Champions. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. Aloha, Greg.
Aloha. Rick, how you doing tonight? Are you staying awake with this with these new hours? This is late for you.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock. I'm usually in bed by now.
Yeah, post-dinner, right? You're usually winding down, and now here we are, but talking a little golf.
Talking a little golf, even later for you. I mean, this is the closest we get to a year ago when we were doing President's Cup stuff. And it was like, I don't even remember what time we were recording, but they were obviously in Australia and it was wacky and wild. This is the latest we've gotten since then.
Yeah. And I mean, for the most part, this is about as late as we get, but I always enjoyed this, right? You see me down here and everybody else in the family is asleep already. So I'm now downstairs, and that's why you get the various backgrounds. And this is also proof, Rick, that you and I are not in the same room.
That is correct. That is correct. We are not in the same room. Greg, did you know that you can now listen to the First Cut on your smart speakers? Did you know that?
I do it all the time. Every time I'm not on, I'm listening to you guys on my smart speakers.
Well, here's what you can do. If you want to be like Greg and listen on your smart speakers, just say, Alexa, play the latest episode of the First Cut Golf Podcast, or hey, Google, play the latest episode of the First Cut Golf Podcast. I had to turn off my Google before this episode so that it would not be playing right now. A little behind the curtains action of the First Cut.
I got to tell you one thing about the smart speakers. My sister, her name's Alexa. Which is always a great
name. She's gonna hate this.
Well, yeah. Now all of a sudden these things come along, and now people ask, "Hey, Alexa, what's the weather?" Right, and everybody asks me these questions, which is quite funny. So we don't name our speakers Alexa. There's a way you can change the name. So it helps me in a situation like this where I can keep saying Alexa, and it doesn't do anything.
Got it. Very slick of you. Very tech savvy. Let's talk a little golf. We've got two golfers atop the leaderboard after 54 holes in Maui. On Maui, I think is the official way to say it. On Maui. Harris English was our 36-hole leader, Greg. And I sat here last night with Coach, and we were kind of looking at the outlooks for Harris English through 36 holes. And this was the fifth time that he had led or co-led through 54. And we were kind of wondering if he could keep it going. He could keep it going, Greg. A 66 on Saturday to go along with his 65 and 67 in the first two rounds. A pure bogey-free 7 under par. Harris English not going away here.
No, he looks really look, he always looks calm. So this is the thing with some of these players on tour. Dustin Johnson's the first guy that comes to mind. Whenever you're even keeled, it can look like you don't care if it's not going well, and you're so cool and calm under pressure, so you got to take that with a grain of salt. He always looks this way. And when it's going well, it looks like, oh, well, he really handles pressure well. But his golf swing looks great right now. And they're just, with the exception of 18, which, you know, maybe it was past your bedtime and you missed it, and all that you saw was Harris English swinging great. And he just keeps going. So I was glad he was able to make 5 on 18 there, because, I mean, 6 just, it feels like a double. And he's playing way too well to not be co-leading right now.
Let's talk about that, because the card is blemish free. He did not make a single bogey on Saturday, but he's sitting in the fairway on number 18. He is 271 yards out, and he hits the worst shot probably that he's hit all week long. He yanks it left into the fescue. He has a great spotter down there who found his ball immediately, and he's able to get a club on it. But I mean, it does feel like a big difference to, I mean, making par on 18 is already losing strokes to the field. To make bogey there and not sleep on the 54, it just feels like a big turning point for him. But he's able to roll in a putt from 8 feet, 7 inches, Greg, to kind of just sustain the momentum.
Right. And I'm sure that putt had his interest for a little bit, because it looked like it was going to miss on the low side. So very, very fortunate to get that to go. And I think that's important for momentum. Now, one shot. I mean, we saw Xander Schauffele come back on Gary Woodland from six back just 2 years ago. So one shot on this golf course is not the end of the world. But for momentum purposes, it really is. And I think there's an element here where you expect to be somewhere. And if you're playing the way Harris English is playing right now, which is it is phenomenal golf, just from a scoring perspective, he just continues to chip away at birdie every single hole. It seems like he's given himself a great birdie opportunity, which is great. But when you play around like he did today, and you've played three rounds like he has this week, and you're not leading, it can feel like what else can I do? And so I think at this point now he feels confident, like he has a real shot tomorrow.
The round of the day, a 64 by Ryan Palmer, who goes out in 33, and you're like, okay, that's what guys are doing. They're going out in 33, 34. Comes in a flurry, Greg, a 31 on his inward nine to shoot that 64. This is now going to be the sixth time he's held a 54-hole lead or co-lead. He's converted twice. This is another guy, and we talked about him a lot on Monday, Greg. I don't know how you describe Ryan Palmer. He's a veteran. He's another guy who's kind of unfazed. You heard him in his post-round interview with a potential rules infraction that he did not get dinged for fantasy purposes. He's solid. He's consistent. But here we go to start 2021, trying to capture a title.
And that 31, by the way, on the par 37 side. So 6 under on 9 holes. He made pars at 10, 11, and 17, as you can see there. So it was quite impressive. He's another guy, just like Harris English, really smooth tempo in that golf swing. And last year, Ryan Palmer put himself in position a lot. He contended a lot, especially early in the year at the Sony Open. He really had a great chance of winning at the Sony Open until he hit a 5 wood out of a bunker that hit a tower and was never to be seen again, at least that we know of. So that was unfortunate. And when you start to put yourself in position time and time again, you hear he's 2 of 6 in his career. That's about a third. That's right on average. That's about average for closers. When you're on the lead on Sunday, about a third of the time, you're going to finish it off. So this is a great opportunity for Ryan Palmer. He clearly has what it takes to get the job done. The only concern was that second nine his hot streak? You get the feeling that if tomorrow is anything like today was, the player who gets hot late is going to be the guy with the best chance to win. So did he burn out today? Was this his best stuff today? And tomorrow is going to be a little bit of a downtick. Or can he keep the foot on the gas? And sometimes that can be a challenge. Then the other thing I worry about would be the kind of name brands that are around him. There's a lot of guys that are very, very used to winning right near him on the leaderboard.
I'm glad you brought up the Sony Open incident for Ryan Palmer from last year, because we're almost at the 1 year anniversary of that. That'll be next week. So he is sitting, and remember, this was a very un-Hawaii-like conditions. It was wet. It was nasty all week long. The winning score was 11 under, and Palmer is in the fairway bunker on 18. And if I remember correctly, Greg, he I don't know if someone just made birdie in front of him or made bogey, and he didn't really know where he stood. So he pulls 5 wood out of this really he was trying to hit a hero shot is what he was trying to do. I think in hindsight, he didn't have to. He hits it literally out of the stadium, hits on top of the set there, and they don't find it, I think, right? And he ends up making
right. It was lost.
Yeah, he ends up making bogey on a very easy closing par five at Wailea and finishes two shots out of the playoff. And I mean, that's like a close call for him. He was in, I think, the final group at Torrey. I mean, he's had close calls in 2020. He's got another close one here. I'll be interested to see if his fate is any different this time.
Yeah. And again, I just go back to the 9-under round today. Something about the way this tournament has played out so far tells me that somebody's going to play a round like that tomorrow. Who's going to get the job done? And I'm just not sure that he's going to do that twice in a row. Now, it's a very common line. It's hard to follow up a great round with another one. Yet we saw Jim Herman shoot 61, 63 last year, right? We saw a number of players do just that and play great weekend rounds time and time again. So it's very, very possible. But he has a lot of competition tomorrow.
Speaking of back-to-back good rounds, Colin Morikawa follows up his Friday 65 with a Saturday 65, another 8-under round. What I think is hilarious when we get into scoring like this, and you know, it's all in context, but you just look at the leaderboard on PGAtour.com, Greg. The guy shoots back-to-back 65s, and today he lost a spot on the leaderboard.
Right.
He went from second to third, which is absolutely crazy. But this is the Colin Morikawa that we didn't necessarily see as much at the end of 2020. He had those 3.5 weeks to kind of get right. He's striping the ball all over the place. Actually, last time I checked, yep, okay, still is leading the field in strokes gained tee to green by a pretty wide margin. He's third in strokes gained approach. I mean, he's doing what we expect Colin Morikawa to do.
Yeah. I mean, you saw him hit the flag. I mean, he nearly jarred it on the par three there. I forget what hole that was, but he nearly jarred it. And by the way, today, I think there were at least three players hit flag sticks out there. And if I missed one, I apologize, but Colin Morikawa was one of them. I mean, when you have no wind, the players on the PGA Tour hit their target. And that's exactly what Colin Morikawa did. But the thing that's making the difference for him this week, the reason he's in the position he is the putting numbers, right? I mean, he was sixth today in strokes gained putting. He gained 1.4. Round one, he was 39th. He lost over 2.5 strokes. So it's gotten better every single day. And when Colin Morikawa putts to zero, as he likes to say, he has a great chance of winning. Right now, he's lost for the week through three rounds. He's lost just over half a shot, 0.555. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for Colin Morikawa, if he can improve that gain tomorrow on the greens, he's going to be a front runner.
That's the key, putt to zero. He's a hair under zero right now. He's a negative putter at the moment, and he's one shot back.
Right.
Insane. To put that into perspective, I mean, let's look at the leaderboard here. Palmer has gained 2 strokes putting, and Harris English has gained over 5 through three rounds. So pretty crazy stuff. Looking ahead, we've got one round to go. Harris English is your favorite to win this event. He's plus 225. So 2.25 to 1 on your money. Right behind him is Colin Morikawa at 2.5 to 1. Ryan Palmer, who is your co-leader, 3 to 1. And then Greg, there's that group. We can talk about that group. And then there's the next group. So let's start with these three, the English, Morikawa, Palmer. They're the three shortest odds. They're the guys that are within either tied for the lead or one shot back. I'm not sure if there's a ton of value in these numbers, but is something speaking to you a little bit?
So first things first, when you look at a group like this, I mean, I had thought that that Harris English would reach when he was around the 7th hole or so. I thought, okay, he's probably going to reach 20 and he'll probably have a couple shot lead, you know, maybe a 2, maybe a 3-shot lead. So I'm always trying to figure out how many players are still in the mix, because that has a big effect on the odds. But when all of a sudden the round ends and you have 3 players at 20 under or better, I got to figure one of those three, Palmer, English, or Morikawa, is going to shoot 5 under. Mm-hmm. So let's say it's not Palmer, not English, and Morikawa shoots 5 under. Now there's a bar set at 25. So how many players can get to 25 under par that are beneath them? And there's not as many as I thought. For a while, this tournament looked like, it looked like there were 30 of 42 players who could win tomorrow. For a time, but I do think with Palmer and English stretching and Morikawa stretching the way that they did, I think it limits guys that are inside the top 10. I think Sergio Garcia at 14 basically has no chance of reaching 25 under, right? Any of the 14 unders. That includes John Rahm, Dustin Johnson. They have a long way to go to win this tournament, and I don't think they're going to go shoot 62 like Victor Hovland. Xander Schauffele did. Excuse me. So that being said, I think that increases the chances of these three players winning. I like their chances this week, tomorrow.
I agree. I think the winner comes out of this group. If I'm going to bet one, I think it's Morikawa, who I just mentioned. He's been the ball striking maven. He's the guy who's losing strokes putting. Because I like your example, Greg. One of them gets to 25, almost certainly, you know, four under or five under. And even then, that would make Daniel Berger have to shoot seven under, which is 66.
I mean,
I guess he has it, but that just gets him into a playoff. Right.
Wow. Well, there's fewer players who can do that. I mean, Daniel Berger could go shoot 66. He's in it. JT and Sung Jae Im, not just because of the numbers and they sit at 17 under, and they could go shoot 65. Right. They have that in their game, and they've shot that already so far this week. So it's very doable. But when you start needing a 64. Right. You need a nine under round, basically the round of the tournament on Sunday. It limits the chances of that. And who's going to shoot 63? I don't think there's very many players who have that chance. So I think you have to be really at 16 or better to have a chance. And even if you are at 16, you got to go crazy tomorrow. Possible. But I think you're Rick, I would say, I don't know if it comes out of the top three. I like Morikawa, but it's definitely out of the guys with a T5 or better next to their name.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think it's one of those top three, but if I was trying to get really, really freaky and I wanted a long shot, Sung Jae Im is 25-1. If he shoots like a 65 something, I mean, he's going 67, 68, 67. He hasn't had a super low round compared to the rest of the scoring. He's fourth in tee to green. He's losing strokes putting. That would be the guy. I'm not thrilled about it. He's 25-1. So it obviously indicates that he's not going to do it very often. But if I had to go out of the top three, it would be Sungjae.
Yeah, I would agree. Cause JT, you're paying for that name, and he gets a little erratic off the JT has a chance. But he's not my favorite. I'm not jumping all over it. So I agree with you, Rick. I'd go Sungjae or I'd go Morikawa and the guys in the top five.
I love it. Well, about this time tomorrow, we'll be back and we'll let you know who's going to win. It's going to be really easy to know who the winner is this time tomorrow, Greg. We'll know for sure.
Yeah, I think we'll get it right tomorrow night.
We'll definitely get it right tomorrow night. That right there, that's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.